Another comment? Okay. Well, let's, because this is a natural segue, and of course it's written that way on purpose, I think. Right after chapter 12 comes chapter 13. And chapter 13, if you want a place in Scripture that will, for good, I believe, that will upset people who believe that Jesus came to do away with the law, and Jesus came to change all these other things, and Jesus came to get rid of all that stuff from the law of Moses that people couldn't do anyway, send them to chapter 13 and ask them, you know, how do you tell a false prophet from a real prophet? If Jesus was the prophet that was prophesied by Moshe, by Moses, to come, if he was the one that Moses said would come after him, how would we know? Answer, Moses told us what to look for. And he told us how to recognize the, call them anti-messiahs, the false prophets. He told us what to do, too. It might be upsetting. It says this, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, listen, and the sign or a wonder comes to pass. In other words, this is not one of these false prophets that gets it wrong. It's a false prophet that gets it right. He says, you know, sun's coming up tomorrow, and shazam, it does. And he spoke to you saying, you know, it comes to pass. Then he says, but let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. What? What's the key? The key is to understand if some prophet comes to you and tries to say to do something different than what it is that Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh has written right here for you to keep and to obey and to hear and to do, then he's a false prophet. So if he comes and says, let us go after other gods which you have not known and let us serve them, let's say, you know, celebrate his birthday on December the 25th and sunrise services on Ishtar sun god morning and so forth. Who knows? That's just an example that comes to my mind for some reason. Then you shall not, key word not, you shall not hearken to that prophet or that dreamer of dreamers. For, why? Because Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, your God, he's testing you. He wants to know whether you will love, what's that, the greatest commandment? I always hear about love, right? Christians, we love. How do we know whether we love? Well, he's testing us to see whether we love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul, just like it's commanded. And how do we know? Because it says, you shall walk after Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, and fear him. And what? Keep his commandments, his mitzvot, and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave, go for, follow after him. What about that prophet or that dreamer of dreams? He shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, and to thrust you out of the way, the truth, and the light, which Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, has commanded you to walk in. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. This is tough stuff. This is hard stuff. We'll come back to it. There's a whole bunch of interesting meat there. And you'll notice a lot of the same words that Yeshua spoke. He was very clear about this. It was a very important distinction. But basically, here it is. It's laid out. I have probably told you this before. One of the things that I've had experience in dealing with, and I've got a lot of good friends who are Orthodox Jews. Some call themselves conservative Jews or other forms of Judaism. Very few that are Reform Judaism, which is kind of like being a Presbyterian in a lot of respects. It's, you know, it's a label, but you don't really have to do anything. You just put it on your door. Sorry if that's a little blunt. But the Orthodox Jews in particular that I've known, some good friends, some of you know the guy that I'm speaking of in particular, very well-known rabbi. Used to do a radio show, and he and I love to chat with a man, wonderful fellow. And early on, when we got to know each other well enough, that he would get very angry at Christian proselytizers, come talk to him about Jesus and say, Rabbi, you're going to go to hell because you don't know Jesus. And he would, it was like turn off a light switch. You're not going to talk to him anymore after that. And so I was really honored at one point when we finally got to the point where he asked me some questions. And I said, you know, Mark, you seem to have a different attitude about the Jesus, right? I said, well, you know, Rabbi, I don't like that term. You know, the Hebrew word is Yahushua, Yeshua, which just means salvation. He said, oh, okay, well. So we talked about it. And again, I've had this discussion with lots and lots of other Jews since then, and even to a certain extent before then. But the difference is, they know. Well, you know, Jesus can't possibly be the Savior. He can't possibly be the Messiah. Every good Torah-observant believing Jew knows that. Well, sure, Rabbi, I agree. I do too, because you can look right here. Devarim chapter 13, and it tells you how to identify a false prophet. And Jesus, by that definition, the one you've heard about, by the way, this rabbi has a degree from Loyola University, Catholic school. So he went to get an advanced degree at a Catholic school. Didn't take a lot of the Catholic classes, but certainly got exposed to it. So he knew a lot of stuff about the Catholic religion. And very well knew why it was that Jesus couldn't possibly be, because he broke all the rules here. But see, the key is, and this is the part that I think was a little bit of a shocker, when I told him some of the things that Matthew 5, we'll turn there in a minute, and 23 and some of these other places say, well, he said that? You know that not one yod or tittle of Torah will pass so long as heaven and earth still exist? He said that? When did he say that? And I pointed it out to him. He didn't have a copy of the scriptures. Go check it out, Rabbi. He really said that? Yeah, I never heard that before. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. But that's one of the ways you know the true from the false. So these are the kind of things, if you find yourself in a position, you know, to have a nice discussion with a person who has rejected the Jesus that they've heard about for cause, for perfectly good reasons, inform them. Don't worry. The real Savior, Yahushua, the one who came not to do away with Torah, not the least part of it, but just fulfill the things that were written there, that one didn't break any of these rules. And it'll set people in their tracks. And that's the irony, because a lot of the division between the so-called Christians and the so-called Jews is because the Jews don't understand what Yeshua really said, and a lot of the Catholic and so forth kinds of Christians don't understand that Jesus couldn't have been the same as a Yeshua who didn't change these things. Okay, back to a couple of pieces out of here, and then we'll make that point real clear. It says here, as if to make this point really clear, if your brother, the son of your mother, or your own son, or your own daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is like your own soul, this would be like Jonathan and King David, if that person comes to you and entices you secretly and says, let's go and serve some other gods that you have not known, not you or your fathers, namely the gods of the people who are around you, these false mighty ones, whether they're close to you or whether they're far off from you, even the other end of the earth, you're not to listen to him, you're not to hearken to him, to consent to him, and you're not to even have pity on them. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand will be the first upon him to put him to death, afterwards the hand of all the other people. Man, that's tough stuff. Now again, I'll point out to you, we are not in the land. I'm not advising folks go out and kill their brother or their wife. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that what we need to remember is this is very serious. This is the kind of thing that truly separates the wheat from the chaff. This separates the sheep from the goats. This is the way we understand whether or not we're dealing with a false Messiah. And of course, we all know we're going to deal with a false Messiah. He's coming. He's going to deceive many. He's going to deceive the whole world. I have a suspicion he's going to get up on some big worldwide stage and say, I am Buddha. I am Muhammad. I am Jesus Christ. And I'm all these things. And the answer is, yeah. And the truth's not in any of them, because they're all false prophets according to what we were given here to read and to understand. Even if they do mighty miracles, and even if they say things that come true. Wonderful point. It's all true. Don't follow. And understand how vitally important it is. That's the deception that we're going to see come. And we don't necessarily have to kill him. As a matter of fact, who can make war with the beast? I don't think it's going to be possible till the things that our Creator literally has entitled him, given him power and authority to do, are taking place. Don't try to raise your hand against him. Just understand the deception and don't fall into the trap. It's Mark, going to be something fierce. Yeah, Mark.
Rita brings up a good point that we're warned about the strength of the deception.
You bet.
That even the very elect might be fooled, which means it's It's going to be big and it's going to be powerful.
And you can see why it's going to be so powerful. Because it's the same deception that literally has been at play for 1,700 years in a paganized church. They literally, you see, and I'm careful about this, and I'll encourage folks, just as you think about it and as you pray about these kind of things, we are told to deal with our brother in love. That's good advice. And there are times when you can tell somebody something, right? And you know the way that I speak to people here is sometimes different than I would speak to my friend the rabbi, or than I would speak to somebody on the street, because, well, most people here are ready for meat, not milk. And there's a lot of folks that aren't even ready for milk. I don't even think they're ready for water. You know, the water of the Ruach in some cases. So one of the things that I'm thankful that Yeshua, that Yahuwah, that lots of other folks did for me when I wasn't ready for meat or milk was to basically feed me with things that I could begin to understand. Now, every now and then it helps to be kind of hit with the, you know, two before right to the chops when you really need it, when you need to be wakened up. So there's times. There's times when you just want to basically nail them and say, look here. Come on. How do you reconcile this with what you think you believe? Anyway, having said all that, the point is, in the right context, some places I'll say, oh, Jesus, you believe in Jesus. Well, Jesus said this, Jesus said that. That's fine. At other places and other times, when it is appropriate, use discernment, I will be very careful and clear to say, look, I will use the term Yeshua or Yahushua sometimes. Even there's a slight distinction there. Those are important differences. To distinguish from this Jesus person that came to do away with the law. Understanding that we're talking about two different folks. One is a lie. And the other is the Messiah that was prophesied and that we were told to expect his coming and given this test in Deuteronomy 13. How will we know when he's here? Now, one of the things that I think is fascinating, and it goes right to what we've just been talking about, is Matthew chapter 23. Sometimes, I don't know if it's helpful to folks, so sometimes I'll give you little memory aids. For me, I have a heck of a time. I can memorize verses of Scripture reasonably well and quote them, but I have a heck of a time finding something when I want it. So a long time ago, I finally got to remember, okay, Matthew 24. If you want to find all the place where it talks about earthquakes in diverse places and wars and rumors of war and the prophecies of the end, how will we know? That's Matthew 24. Okay, I can remember that. Well, if you look right ahead of Matthew 24, that would be what? Let's see, Matthew 24 minus 1. Matthew 23, this is the place where Yeshua talks about hypocrisy. This is the place, right before you get to the part about the false prophets, one chapter earlier, he tells us about all these things to be wary of, not add to or subtract from. Well, so here's Matthew 23. Listen to this. See how this fits. See how this, along with tonight's Torah portion, helps to divide the wheat from the chaff and the goats from the sheep and what it means to really understand his word as opposed to being deceived by this false Messiah that we are warned about. Then it said, Yeshua spoke, and I'm going to change the words in the King James here so that it reads right. Yeshua spoke to the multitude and said to his disciples, hey, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat, right? You've heard this before. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And I'm going to read it wrong, and then we'll read it the way that Nehemiah Gordon wrote a whole book telling us that it should be read. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, all whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But don't do after their works, because they say, but don't do. It's close, but no cigar. There's something really, really wrong with that verse, because what it really said, what Yeshua really said was, in the Hebrew, and by the way, what Nehemiah Gordon shows in his book is, in the Hebrew, only difference between something that changes the entire meaning of this verse is one little yod. Looks like an apostrophe to us. Tiny little yod changes the word they into he, which is what it should be. So here's what it should have said. This is Yeshua speaking. These are the words in red. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat. Therefore, whatever he bids you to observe, do it. That observe and do. Who is the he it's being talked about? Moses. So the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. But do what he tells you to do, not what they do. Because they say, but they don't do. the very definition of a hypocrite. Someone who says something but won't walk the walk. Talks the talk, but won't walk the walk. Now, why? What is it that upset him so much about these Pharisees? Why does he call them in this chapter? And we'll go through it. I should have highlighted them. Actually, I did. Time after time after. This is the guy who the Christian church will say, oh, love. We got to want to walk in love, right? And yet Yeshua here said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Woe unto you, you blind guides! You fools, you blind guides! You fools and blind! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You blind Pharisee! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You serpents, you generation of vipers! How can you escape the damnation of hell? I'm just reading verse after verse after verse, the names that our Savior called these people. Wow. Why? Why? He tells us right up front. Because they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they won't move them with even one of their fingers. All of their works they do to be seen by men. And you remember these other, they make broad their phylacteries, and they enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms. And then he goes on and says over and over again, here's all the things you do. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You won't go in. You devour widows' houses. And you compass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.